It's Tuesday, October 27th, AD 2020. This is The Worldview in 5 minutes, written by Kevin Swanson and heard at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. The Independent Catholic News reports that the wife, three sons, and a daughter of Asif Pervez are in hiding since Pervez was sentenced to death by a Pakistani court. A Muslim co-worker framed the Christian man by using his phone SIM card to send blasphemous messages relating to the Islamic religion. Pervez has been sentenced to death as of September 8, 2020. Please pray for Pervez and his family's safety at this time. Persecution of Christians is rising in northern India. The Union of Catholic Asian News reports that, quote, a Christian man was shot dead and three others wounded when assailants entered into a Pentecostal church and opened fire in India's Punjab state, end quote. The pastor's son, Jaspal Massa, said, quote, four persons armed with guns entered the church and opened fire at us. I laid flat on the ground and saved my life, end quote. His cousin, Prince Atwal, was killed in the attack. The Los Angeles Times targeted Pastor John MacArthur over the weekend with a headlined article which read, quote, coronavirus outbreak strikes L.A. megachurch that defied public health orders, end quote. The reported outbreak was a full three cases out of an estimated attendance of 7,000 people. A court date is set for November 13th for contempt of court charges against the Southern California church. Pastor John Piper issued an article, followed up by a tweet, indicating he would not be voting for either President Trump or Joe Biden in the upcoming presidential election. In the article, Piper equated, quote, self-absorbed, self-exalting boastfulness, end quote, to the sin of abortion. Pastor Douglas Wilson responded by pointing out that some sins, like abortion, are more egregious in the eyes of God than others. President Donald Trump told Religion News Service last week that he is now a, quote, non-denominational Christian, end quote, and he is, quote, thankful to God, end quote, for healing him from the COVID-19 virus. He also revealed in the written statement to Religious News Service that his parents had, quote, taught me the importance of faith and prayer from a young age, end quote. By a vote of 52-48, Judge Amy Coney Barrett was confirmed Monday by the U.S. Senate as the 115th Supreme Court Justice of the United States. Senator Charles Grassley made the announcement from the Senate floor.
On this vote, the yeas are 52, the nays are 48. The nomination of Amy Coney Barrett of Indiana to be an Associate Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States is confirmed.
Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska decided to vote for her, but Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine was the only Republican who did not. In Judge Barrett, President Trump made good on his promise to select well-credentialed justices who remain committed to the original intent of the Constitution. She is the president's third nominee to the high bench and the sixth Republican nominee out of nine justices. With just 9 days to go until the November 3rd presidential election, President Trump could not have been more pleased.
This is a momentous day for America, for the United States Constitution, and for the fair and impartial rule of law. The Constitution is the ultimate defense of American liberty. The faithful application of the law is the cornerstone of our republic. That is why, as president, I have no more solemn obligation and no greater honor than to appoint Supreme Court justices. On this October evening, the First Lady and I welcome you to the White House to bear witness to history. In a few moments, we will proudly swear in the newest member of the United States Supreme Court, Justice Amy Coney Barrett.
Justice Clarence Thomas administered the oath to Justice Barrett late last night.
I, Amy Coney Barrett, do solemnly swear
that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office on which I'm about to enter.
The duties of the office on which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
After her swearing-in last night in the Rose Garden, Supreme Court Justice Barrett emphasized the distinction of a judge in contrast with a senator.
I have spent a good amount of time over the last month at the Senate, both in meetings with individual senators and in days of hearings before the Senate Judiciary Committee. The confirmation process has made ever clearer to me one of the fundamental differences between the federal judiciary and the United States Senate. And perhaps the most acute is the role of policy preferences. It is the job of a senator to pursue her policy preferences. In fact, it would be a dereliction of duty for her to put policy goals aside. By contrast, it is the job of a judge to resist her policy preferences. It would be a dereliction of duty for her to give in to them. Federal judges don't stand for election. Thus, they have no basis for claiming that their preferences reflect those of the people. This separation of duty from political preference is what makes the judiciary distinct among the three branches of government. A judge declares independence not only from Congress and the president, but also from the private beliefs that might otherwise move her. The oath that I have solemnly taken tonight means at its core that I will do my job without any fear or favor, and that I will do so independently of both the political branches and of my own preferences.
In 2 Chronicles 19, verses 6 and 7, Jehoshaphat told the judges, "Take heed to what you are doing, for you do not judge for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Now, therefore, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, nor taking of bribes." A Gallup poll conducted in August found that U.S. public school attendance has dropped by another 7% in 2020, and the homeschooled population doubled from 5% to 10%. Colorado is facing its three worst fires in history this year. Indeed, the Cameron Peak Fire and East Troublesome Fire are still burning. Over 400,000 acres have been consumed by these two fires thus far. By God's mercies, a snowstorm over the weekend slowed the progress of the fires. And California has experienced its worst fire season this year, with over 4,300,000 acres burned, causing $1.8 billion in damage. The August Complex Fire burned over 1 million acres alone. Former NFL player Herschel Walker defended his vote for Donald Trump in a Twitter response on Sunday. He encouraged everybody not to trust in scientists or in politics for that matter, but to trust in the Lord.
Well, you know, every day I find someone that's trying to get me to change my mind of who I think should be president of the United States, who I think is Donald J. Trump, and someone today's a Herschel, you got to trust his science. Something they got from Joe Biden. And I said, oh, what scientists are you going to trust? Because different scientists are saying different things. Different doctors are saying different things. Why don't you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? There's only one of those.
Psalm 20, verse 7 says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." As part of a podcast with Joe Rogan last week, popular singer Kanye West called abortion a genocide. He said, quote, "Plan B and Planned Parenthood were planned by eugenicists that set out and said out loud, I'm doing this to kill the black race and to create population control," end quote. The economy has yet to recover from the COVID crash. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 650 points yesterday for a 1,200-point drop over the last 2 weeks, That's still 2,200 points lower than the February high. Meanwhile, gold prices are holding steady at $1,900 per ounce. That gold price is up from $1,500 in February. And finally, the United States is no longer the largest economy in the world.